For the first Sunday in Lent, we always have the same gospel lesson. It's the temptation of Jesus. And the reason for that is because, of course, all of us, each and every day, face temptations. The temptation to turn bread into stone is simply that temptation not only for food, but for material things. We want to have stuff because we think lots of stuff will give us security and enjoyment. That second temptation of worshiping the demon, the devil, and having authority is simply that temptation that indeed we want power and honor and glory and to be recognized that we are important and have some control in our lives and at even best control over others. And that third temptation, taking Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and saying, "Go on, jump, God will protect you," is precisely our temptation for wanting security and protection, safety and certainty. And that sense of, well, why doesn't God always do what I thought God had promised? To be there for me, to be on my side, to do whatever I ask God to do, to give me the security and certainty that I want. And we succumb to those temptations many, many times. But there's a deeper level than that to the temptations. And in all three of those, they involve some sense of power and the kind of power that we want. That first temptation is really saying, we'd love to have power over nature. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be that scientist, that medieval alchemist who could turn stone into bread? What control of nature that would be. And of course, in our contemporary age, more than ever, we see the deleterious effects when we have power over nature. The environmental crisis in which we find ourselves, but still deny and say, oh, it can't really be that bad. And so we continue with our unopposed power over nature, despite the negative effects it has. That second temptation, indeed, is just simply that we want to have power over other people. And the most obvious and dangerous way that shows itself is to say, well, if you want to have power over someone else, let's have war, let's have terrorism, let's have violence. Because I can defeat and beat up the other person, even indeed kill them. I'm in charge. I win. I'm in control. Politics is a game of power where we try to find control over others so that our policies and our advantages happen. And indeed, in our own lives, isn't it how often we work to make sure that we've got the upper hand in relationships, Because if we've got the upper hand, then we're in charge. And things are going to happen the way we want them to happen. And others have to toe the line. And that third temptation is indeed that sense of we would love to have power over God. And the way that we do that is very subtle. In terms of saying, God, we take you at your word, at your promises, and now we'd make them a very self-centered thing and say, and now show that you're really God by doing this for me, by doing this for us. If you're really God, if you really kept your promises, then you would do whatever it takes to keep me safe and to keep me secure and to keep me out of trouble and to keep me healthy and to keep me from ever having to worry about death. So come on, God, do your job. But we can even take those temptations to one more deeper level. The temptations that strike at the very core of our faith and our existence. It's no accident that the temptation of Jesus comes right after his baptism. And it's no accident that the confession that we have in our service here is a confession that indeed recalls our baptisms and the temptations that befall us right after we've been baptized, if you will. What's that sense of temptation? When Jesus was baptized, he heard that voice from heaven. You are my son, my beloved one. And now Satan comes along to tempt Jesus and to say in many ways, Jesus, you heard those words. You're the beloved one. But is that enough? Is that good enough? Look at what God has in store for you. Look at what God wants you to do. You think your baptism? Do you think God's word, God's promise is going to be enough? Do you think God is enough to get you through the ordeal in front of you, to get you through the cross and death? Really? I think you better worry about your own material goods and control and authority over people, and even whether or not God will really keep the promises God has made to you. Is God enough, Jesus? Or do you need more? And that's where it comes to us as well. The temptation that strikes at the core of our faith. We have been baptized, and just like Jesus, we have that promise from God. You are my daughters. You are my sons. You are my beloved ones. But people, is that really enough? Is God's grace enough to get you through the trials and ordeals and challenges of life? Is God's promise of love that will accompany you through everything enough? Don't you need more? Satan never disputed that the promises given to Jesus at his baptism weren't any good. Satan is far smarter than that, working on us. He's not saying, oh, forget those promises. But he ups the ante and says, are those promises enough? Is God enough? As Lutherans, we know from Luther and Luther's coat of arms, we have all of those solas, those alones. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. Oh yeah? Is that enough? Is that what's going to get you through life? That's the true temptation that we all face. That is the real challenge to our faith. Because you all know very well that indeed it is God's grace and love alone that will be enough for us. Christ's death and resurrection demonstrate God's grace and love alone is enough. But the temptations keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and challenge us. In our ELW liturgy on baptism, one of the questions asked to the one who is baptized is, do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? And that's the tough question, isn't it? That's the question that we focus on in Lent, and that indeed we focus on in every moment of our Christian life. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you away from God? That was Satan's real move on Jesus. Satan wasn't trying to get Jesus to sin by doing something immoral, like, oh, come on, Jesus, why don't you steal a loaf of bread from the baker? Or come on, Jesus, why don't you tell some lies or whatever? Nah, that's small potatoes. The big thing is, can we get Jesus to doubt that God is enough for him? Can we get, the devil would say, can we get you folks to doubt? God's grace is enough. God's forgiveness is enough. God's love is enough. Can I just put enough doubt in your mind and enough confidence in your own self-centeredness to draw you away from God, to draw you away from Christ? That's the temptation. And to resist that temptation, we do exactly as Jesus does. We fall back on God's word. We fall back on God's promises. We remember our baptism. Yes, you are God's beloved sons and daughters. And yes, that baptismal grace will get you through life. We fall back on God's meal, not the one of usual bread. And yes, that bread which is the body of Christ given for you, that wine which is the blood of Christ shed for you, is what will nourish you through life. And so, as we face that temptation, is God enough? Are God's promises, God's grace, God's love enough? We continue to fall back on God's word, on our baptism, on the supper, and indeed say yes. God's grace alone, God's faith alone, Christ alone will see us through anything and everything that may befall us in our life. And so we end as we say every time in the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation. Amen. Please stand as we sing our hymn of the day, "I Want Jesus to Walk With Me." Amen.